And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino, along with David Deal. Glad you could join us for today's program as the Giants prepare to take on the Atlanta Falcons. The Giants, of course, coming off a disappointing loss against Dallas. And Atlanta stole a game the other day against Philadelphia, David.
They most certainly did, and I think that was a surprise for everyone, thinking that Philadelphia was going to be the clear winner of the NFC East, which everyone said. So it was a huge start for Dan Quinn and the Atlanta Falcons to get their first win at home and to establish a new trend of the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, let's take a look at the Giants injury report going into today's practice session. A number of these guys we kind of figured were going to be on the list, and then there were some guys that are kind of new to what we thought was going to happen. Beeson, Cruz, Fells, Flowers, Kuhn, and Unga, the guys that have been posted. Unga seems to be new. I guess that happened in the game the other day, as well as Fells with the foot. The Unga one is interesting to me, David, because without John Beeson, Unga is supposed to be the starting middle linebacker, and now what if he's down?
That's a huge concern. And then the next step, you would think, who takes over middle linebacker? The only one that you could see would be the clear winner of that would be JT Thomas. He's the only player that has played all the positions at the linebacker position. So if you moved him over to the Mike linebacker, that would mean Jonathan Casillas would have to step in at that will. I think that would be the best adjustment that the Giants can make, but I know that they're praying that they either get John Beeson back or Unga's ready to go.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, as far as Cruz and Beeson, Unga replaced Beeson, of course, in the starting lineup. His first ever NFL game. David, 12 tackles along with an interception. Preston Parker was pressed into duty as the lead guy in the slot with Cruz down. He had a couple of catches for 26 yards.
Well, it was great to see Unga be instinctive and trust what he watched on film and took it to the game field. Made tackles from sideline to sideline, was quick to identify. But the big step next that he needs to take is his coverage. Backside of the backfield, tight end streaking across the middle. That's going to be the next thing, taking proper angles and really being good in coverage.
One of the other guys who was making his NFL debut the other night in Dallas was left tackle Eric Flowers. Now, I want to give you a stat, David, and as an offensive lineman, I know you're going to love this. Mincy and Gregory combined for only one assisted tackle going opposite the big rookie.
You have to give him a lot of credit. Spotlight, Sunday Night Football, your first game playing left tackle. He really stepped up and played well. You could see his confidence grow throughout the game. You could see his technique from when he first became a New York Giant to now how much it has flourished. But the biggest thing that I really like to see was his poise and composure down the stretch. There was a point where he got a punch in the face in the fourth quarter. He was smart. He didn't retaliate. And it was a big penalty for the Giants to take in that drive.
In fact, his helmet even came off on the play. And a lot of times, you know, players will take exception to that and strike back. He didn't do it.
Especially a player like him. He is a feisty, hard-nosed, tough football player. But like I said, it was great to see a young player show his poise during that time.
All right, now, Odell Beckham is not so much a young player anymore. He's been around for a year, finished with 5 catches for 44 yards in the game. The bad news, though, David, his streak of 90-plus receiving yards ends at 9 straight games. I think Dallas feels they did a pretty good job against him.
I think that the Dallas feels like they did a pretty good job, but I think coming in now, week 2 moving forward, if the Giants put him in different positions on the field, I think that would help get him in open space, let him use his athleticism to his advantage. And I know all those number one receivers, they love running those flies out of that slot position now because they have so much room without having the sideline right next to them.
All right, so we'll see if Beckham can get himself on track against the Falcons. The running game, 24 carries for 99 yards. Not a bad average. Rashad Jennings had 13 for 52, including a touchdown. I thought the Giants actually ran the ball rather effectively, especially in the fourth quarter.
I think that they did, but it's all about consistency and making it go throughout the game. The biggest thing that the Giants are going to have to do now against these Atlanta Falcons defensive ends, they're really going to have to set the edge, stay square, along with the tight ends to make sure that everything is not pressed to the inside and they can get those outside zone stretches and those pitches to open up everything and make that Atlanta defense spread out.
Now, on the other side, defensively, the one thing the Giants really want to do better this week against Atlanta is get more heat on the quarterback. The other night against the Cowboys, Devon Kennard had the only quarterback hit on Tony Romo.
It's going to be crucial to get penetration, hits on the quarterback, and make Matt Ryan throw off of his back foot. He is a true consummate pro. You know he is going to be ready for this game. And the biggest factor that you can do is make him uncomfortable. That with any great quarterback, You make them throw off of their back foot. You make them scramble out of the pocket. He's not as effective as he is when he's got his feet planted and he can read through his progressions.
Okay, David, as usual, it's time for our weekly Twitter question. And let's go to, I believe it's NROC922 says, how did Landon Collins work in week one? He had four tackles and one tackle for a loss.
I think he played well, but the next thing that he has to take is a step in the communication. There was one time where Jason Witten had an easy touchdown, motioning across the defense. There was some communication. Landon Collins was late to come over, and it was an easy touchdown for Witten. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's his next step, not only being that eight-man-in-the-box, stiff player, he's got to get back in coverage, and he has got to do a better job with those crossing routes across the middle.
All right, well, we'll see how the rookie does against the Falcons this Sunday. Remember, Atlanta flying high off their opening day win. We'll examine the matchup further when we come back after this on MSG Networks. Hey, welcome back to Giants Press Conference live here on MSG Networks. You know, the Atlanta Falcons have Dan Quinn as their new head coach. This is a guy who's been around the league for a while, the Jets among other teams. Most recently, though, David, 2 years with the Seattle Seahawks, and everybody knows what a defensive force they were.
They most certainly were, and the thing that you'll see is he's going to take over that 4-3 hybrid, or just like the Seattle defense where they played Cam Chancellor and eight in the box. He's going to run hybrids of 3-4s to make sure he gets his best pass rushers on the field in third and longs. But the biggest thing that he's brought over to a defense that was 32nd in the league last year is intensity, motors, and they fly to the football. Anytime you see a tackle, you see the rest of the defense swarm after it. They're all piling on. They're all trying to get the ball. And the biggest thing that they're trying to do is create turnovers. So you really see the confidence in this defense, in this team. And looking at this, you wouldn't expect that they had the struggles down the stretch and had so much inconsistency as they did last season.
Now, every coach loves to bring in a former guy that he had. And you look at those numbers against Philadelphia. Brian Schofield, their starting weak side linebacker, was brought over from the Seahawks to kind of be the brain on the field.
He most certainly has, and he's almost like the Cliff Avril of Seattle, where he's playing that edge, he's setting everything up, and he's really done a great job of being a veteran leader and really transgressing everybody else into verbiage and everything into this defense.
Now, the good news for the first-year Atlanta head coach is that he's already got a franchise quarterback in place. That'd be Matt Ryan. 23 of 34 for 298 yards, two touchdowns, and two picks the other night against Philly, coming off of an outstanding season last year.
The thing that you'll see this year with Kyle Shanahan as his new offensive coordinator, he's going to run a lot more boots, a lot more nakeds. They're trying to get him out in space and throw on the run, because over the last two seasons, he's been sacked 75 times. But the thing about it, like I stated earlier, if you let Matt Ryan on third down set his feet and give him all the time, he's going to be able to pick you apart with Roddy White and with Julio Jones and the rest of the weapons that they have on this offense.
Giants got to get more pressure, David.
They most certainly have to.
All right, now, when Ryan throws the ball, it's Julio Jones, and we all know about him. In two career games against the Giants, by the way, 17 combined catches for 179 yards and two scores. Prince and DRC will have their hands full.
He looked as explosive as he ever has on Monday Night Football. He said he's bigger, he's stronger. You're seeing him put him in different positions, running the quick slants, having him run those little quick flare screens, trying to get him in space. But Julio Jones is a dynamic weapon, and once you put him out there in those deep balls, his range, where Matt Ryan can put the ball 4 yards over him or 4 yards to the side, and he still has a way to catch the ball and come down with it.
Now, let's turn our attention to the Falcons' running game. Dallas was held to only 80 yards rushing and a 3.5 average by the Giants. They really improved that rush defense. The Falcons will hit you with a dynamic duo of Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman. Freeman's more of a pass catcher.
Yes, he most certainly is. And both of these backs are at their best when they're working the edges, when they're doing the pitches, the toss, the cracks to the outside where they can use their athleticism. One of the biggest things for the Giants' defensive line that they can do in this game are have different stunts, whether they're penetrating, whether they're slanting. This Falcons' offensive line has struggled against that.
Well, speaking of the Falcons' offensive line, the Philadelphia Eagles had one sack and three quarterback hits, and quite frankly, did a pretty good job of kind of getting to Ryan, maybe not as many times as they wanted to, but they were effective.
They have a group that, just like the New York Giants, have been rotating guys in and out, trying to find that cohesive group through the preseason. So you know that their double teams, their fits, those are the things that they're going to struggle with during this game. That's where it is huge for Bromley, Hankins, Jenkins, all these guys to create penetration and get them on different levels to really disrupt the run game.
Yeah, so the Giants should be able to do some of those things that Philly was able to utilize. When we come back, we'll hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin and his thoughts on this weekend's game. So stick around. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Let's get a listen in as Giants head coach Tom Coughlin addresses the media about this weekend's game.
Good morning. We're excited to prepare for our home opener against the Atlanta Falcons, who defeated Philadelphia the other night, as you well know, a very close game. 26-24 is the final. Atlanta was down, kicked the field goal in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia came down with 3 minutes to go and missed one, and that was the deciding factor in the game. New coach is Dan Quinn, who was the defensive coordinator at Seattle. They play an aggressive style of defense. They're a pressure defense. They rotate the defensive linemen in and out of the game. They keep them fresh. They get after the quarterback and after the running game, and they played very aggressively last night. Their offense was in the top 10 last year in the National Football League. Matt Ryan is the outstanding young quarterback. They have many skilled players on their offensive side of the ball. Their kicking game is outstanding, as you well know. With Matt Bryan as the field goal kicker, he was 3 for 3 over 40 yards the other night. Bosher is their punter and kicker. He broke his own record at 57.8 average for punts the other night. Did an outstanding job in that game. And Devin Hester, who was inactive last weekend, has been a top, I guess, the top return man in all of football with 20 touchdowns. So they're an outstanding team, and we're looking forward to preparing for the Atlanta Falcons.
Do you have Victor Cruz or John Beeson at practice today?
No.
Eric Flowers?
Yes.
So everything checked out with him? Is this a spring? Is that correct?
Like I said, yes.
Is there any?
He'll be at practice.
Sorry. Is there any further update on Victor Cruz? It's obviously
no.
Been a long time for a strain.
No.
Still just a strain, or is there any other injuries?
Strain.
Unga?
Excuse me?
Will Unga be at practice? Wani Unga?
Yes. Well, I don't know about that. I got to find out what his status will be. It'll be limited if he's there.
What's your challenge as the head coach in getting past the very controversial end to the game?
The challenge is simply to recognize the encouraging things that happened in the game. I thought we played hard. We were aggressive. We've got to continue, obviously, to do that, but we've also got to get our X's and O's better. Our offensive execution and the fact that the offensive team, their responsibility is not only to protect the ball but score touchdowns. So that's basically where we are.
Do you do anything differently after a loss like that to try and keep morale up or to prepare for the next week?
Well, we talk to our team in specific ways when we gather on Monday. And then we're encouraging where it need be, and we're talked nothing but improvement in other areas. But, again, let's get back on the practice field and get going.
You spoke a little bit about taking longer shots in the preseason. I'm guessing you'd like to see more of them.
I would like to see the ball down the field. I don't want the ball turned over, but I would like to see the ball down the field, yes.
What effect does it have on an offense and an offensive coaching staff to not get the ball until the 11th minute of the game?
Well, it's they won the toss and took the ball, and they put on a long drive. And I think certainly you want to get in the game much faster than that, but you deal with what you deal with, you know. I think we were all glad to see there was only 3 points, and so out goes the offensive team knowing what their job is. But it was a long, sustained drive, and, that's the there's reasons why you take the ball, why you don't take the ball, and that type of thing. And they obviously were correct in what they decided to do the other day.
When you say you want the ball down the field more, how much of that is a product of what they were doing defensively, and how much?
Well, there's no question about what you're seeing defensively out of people today in terms of their the number of people involved in underneath coverage and the single high coverage primarily. But that's still, I just don't throw that out there. I mean, obviously, there has to be some excellent decision-making on when to do things. But just by general nature, I say, for me, it's always been, at some point, let's get it down the field.
Tom, Eli has taken a lot of criticism over what happened, more than maybe at any time during his career. A, are you surprised by it? And B, do you feel you have to talk to him, even Eli, who is kind of, what's that stuff?
We've had the conversations, and we're on to Atlanta.
Getting back to Atlanta, how similar is this defense to what Dan Quinn ran in Seattle?
Very. Surprisingly.
Preston seemed to have a difficult game. Are you going to make any changes to that area of the depth chart?
Well, we certainly want to see the ball caught, not dropped. We'll see how practice goes this week. Dwayne Harris will get more opportunities, but we'll see.
What are you looking for, Tom, from your crowd as home opener?
Enthusiasm, excitement, our regular season home opener, 1 o'clock game, National Football League. Come out, support our team, and our team give them reasons to be excited and involved in the game.
Do you expect Owe to be have a better chance of being up this
He's
week?
He's going to practice.
Was that how much of that was injury and how much of that was just maybe the way Dallas plays and the numbers decision?
As I said, I think I said, he did not practice last week to any extent, and therefore that decision was not a difficult one.
Tom, you expect Flowers to be limited today? Or
I think he's limited, sure.
But you feel good about his...
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that. I said he's going to practice or try to practice.
Tom, I know Rashad Jennings issued a very public apology for revealing what happened in a huddle. Did he need to do that to you? Is that something you were upset about?
I'm going forward to Atlanta. Thank you very much. I've talked to everyone, but it was 2 days ago or whatever. Anything else?
I assume, is that your basic message to the team? Just get over this and move forward with it.
Let's go.
How different is the offense now? They have a new coordinator, a guy who's in
the Well, it's Kyle Shanahan is the coordinator, and they're up-tempo West Coast. They do some no huddle. It's not always to create the fast circumstance. They will interject it when they want to and not. They're pretty quick out of the huddle when they do huddle. But it has, they're an outstanding play action team. Outstanding.
How, obviously, Julio Jones is a great player. Is the challenge similar to Dez, though, because they kind of have some similar
They have a lot of good skill players. They really do. Guys can help themselves out very well. Julio certainly is an outstanding player.
When you mentioned the encouraging parts of Sunday night, was the play of DRC and Prince part of that?
That was a part of it, sure. And it was very encouraging to me.
Is that kind of what you want to see from them? You need to see from them on the outside to make this?
We need to see the consistency of that quality. I just feel like they're outstanding corners, and they can continue to lead the way and help us in that area. Anything else? Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Coach Coughlin now heading out to practice. It's time for our GEICO 15-second news recap, and 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. I want to recap what Coach said about special teams, David, because Devin Hester may be the most dangerous special teams return guy in NFL history, and the Giants did so well containing the Cowboys' return game.
The Giants did very well against the Cowboys in containing that return game, and it's going to be huge in the battle of field position that they minimize Devin Hester's return ability and make sure you do whatever you can to keep him inside the 20.
I know one thing Coach would like to see on his side of the return game is a little bit more yardage. Didn't look like Dwayne Harris had much room.
No, he really didn't, and that's a step that he needs to take in trusting his blockers up in front of him. But more importantly, his blockers have to give him a lane where he can take that one cut and shoot it right down the field.
Hey, it's a big day on Sunday. Not only do the Giants have their home opener against the Atlanta Falcons, but at halftime, a special ceremony to honor the Super Bowl 25 champions. They'll all come out on the field and, of course, be welcoming your applause as the 25th anniversary of that team occurs. Now, on Giants.com, they have a very special presentation. I know you've clicked on it because I have already, too. At Giants.com, it's /1990. They have a video and text presentation recapping some of the greatest memories of that season. You remember Desert Storm, et cetera, et cetera. Boy, what an incredible season that was. Memories just keep flowing back to you, David. Guys like Bon Jovi getting involved in the whole thing. Let me ask you this. As a current player, how much does that whole connection to Giants tradition play into your mentality?
It definitely plays into your mentality because when you walk around this Giants facility, you see the history and tradition and what it means to wear a New York Giants helmet and uniform. And when you see those four Lombardis and you see those championship teams come back for those games and see the passion in the crowd and what they've meant to not only the New York Giants, but to just the New York and New Jersey area and how it helped them through that Desert Storm time, it does nothing but motivate you when they have all of them out on the field wearing their jerseys and you see the same camaraderie out of those guys, you know, how many years later, 25 years later, that they still have now.
David, when you were playing here as an active player with the Giants, who was the one past Super Bowl hero from the team that you wanted to talk to or you wanted to see or shake his hand?
My first one was Mark Bavaro. My rookie year, I started all 16 games and beat Mark Bavaro for the most starts as a rookie. And you just think about him, Rambo, running down the field, running people over. So for me, meeting Bavaro was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And you get to meet what a great guy he is, more than just a good football player.
Awesome stuff. And indeed, Mark Bavaro will be one of the Giants here. Remember, Sunday, 1 o'clock, it's the Giants and the Atlanta Falcons. And at halftime, the 25th anniversary celebration to celebrate those Super Bowl 25 champions. Wide right. It's too bad we're not playing the Buffalo Bills this weekend. For David Deal, I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Giants Press Conference Live here on MSG Networks. We'll see you next time.